Now, President Biden is making a major push to make vaccines available for all teachers by the end of the month and to get schools open as soon as possible. Teachers and daycare providers are now eligible to be vaccinated in Wisconsin. The 47,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine the state's set to receive next week are supposed to help that effort. We're talking now about the push to reopen schools and the challenge of getting teachers across the country vaccinated. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Teachers, if you've been teaching remotely, what do you need to feel ready for in-person school again? If you've already been teaching in person, what kind of precautions are in place? How's it going for you? Have you been able to get vaccinated or at least get an appointment? And parents, what do you think? Do you want in-person schooling as soon as possible? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Aaron Richards is a national education reporter for USA Today, based in Milwaukee. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Hi there.
Well, I mentioned, you know, many schools are working to reopen. A lot of schools are already doing in person. What do we know about how much or how many of our kids are actually going to the old-fashioned school building these days?
Sure. So across the country, we've still got under half of public school students who are getting a traditional in-person instruction experience. So there's a company called Verbio. They've been tracking school reopening calendars throughout the pandemic. We've got about 44% of public school kids across the country that are getting that traditional, what looked like learning before the pandemic. Now, because we've got about another 28% of kids or so who are getting some in-person learning, that means like maybe a couple days a week you're in class and then the rest of the days you're learning from home. That means that overall, we've got about, if you want to say, are you getting into a classroom building at all? It's about 72% of kids nationwide in public schools. So then that other percentage, about one in four kids, or about a quarter of the U.S. public school population, is at home all the time, still learning remotely. That includes districts like Milwaukee and Madison, where almost everybody is still 100% remote. There might be a couple of special cases of kids with particular special needs, maybe getting some in-person help. But for the most part, that the larger urban districts where rates of transmission have been high are still in many cases sort of on the bubble of reopening.
And now here we've got a new presidential administration, now a new education secretary. They're trying, they say, to bump up the timeline of vaccinations. What are we hearing now from the new White House?
Well, President Biden has pushed for the reopening of schools 5 days a week. The goal has shifted a little bit. First, it was all students. Now it's mostly focused on K-8 students. But Biden has recommitted to the idea that as much as possible, we want K-8 students in school 5 days a week. Now, the CDC has also recommended that this can happen even without staff all being vaccinated. There's a number of studies that show that in-school transmission is pretty low and can be kept that way, even if there is some level of spread in the community. But some of those studies were based on smaller school districts or places where it was easier to spread out. For example, rural Wisconsin was the basis for one of the main CDC studies that shows how important mitigation tactics are to keeping schools open, even without people being vaccinated. So on the you've also got a new education secretary who has just been confirmed, and he comes from a state, Connecticut, where the push was really to keep as many schools open as possible. It was by no means a happenstance that the new education secretary was in a school building this week in Connecticut to kind of wave the flag for in-person learning with, you know, plexiglass and masks and some level of physical distancing. So the message is really, let's get kids back in school as quickly as we can. But the slow vaccine rollout and some pushback from teachers and teachers unions is still making that a challenge for some districts to actually achieve, you know, next week.
Let's look at some urban school districts, maybe with old school buildings already kind of crowded. I mean, are there just logistical setups in certain districts in some parts of the country that make this a harder sell and harder to pull off safely?
That has been the argument from many teachers unions. It's not that, particularly in larger cities, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Milwaukee to a degree, that these are old buildings. They don't have as, they don't, you know, not every classroom has been updated with, a brand new HVAC system. That there isn't enough money to do that quickly, or before we get kids in class. And so the worry has been not that we don't know what to do. It's that we don't trust our district administration to get us there, right? And we're fearful for our safety. And so that's why we'd rather wait until we're fully vaccinated. So there are some issues with older buildings. To some degree, though, we have seen some large urban districts that have stayed open almost the whole time or from the beginning of the year. Places like Miami, Providence, Rhode Island have at least had that option for in-person learning, even if many, many families are choosing to learn remotely.
We're talking to Aaron Richards, national education reporter for USA Today, talking about the latest on school reopenings and vaccination for teachers and school staff. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see schools open up as much as possible, as fast as possible? If you're a teacher, do you have a vaccine appointment in hand? Do you want to wait to go back to school until you have at least a dose of vaccine? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Aaron, let's talk about that drive now. The Biden administration saying we're going to have, they say, vaccines available at least for teachers by the end of this month. Can you talk about their drive to get teachers vaccinated, even if they're saying don't wait to open schools on these vaccinations?
Right. So one action we saw this week that was different from the previous administration was really directing states to move teachers up in the priority list. Now, about 2/3 of states had already given educators, childcare workers, often K-12 teachers, some level of priority over other folks. And honestly, the president's powers on this are pretty limited. There's a bigger role for states and down to education matters, local districts, to determine how things roll in their local communities. The president is really using his bully pulpit to say, please move your teachers up. And many states have indeed responded by trying to reprioritize teachers if they weren't already up there. So that's why you see places like, even here in Wisconsin, there's some degree of optimism that many more teachers will have at least their first dose of the vaccine by the middle of this month. And I think that's really encouraging, especially to educators that didn't feel like they were, potentially going to get a shot soon enough. So there's certainly, by speeding up the federal vaccine rollout as much as possible, to trying to pave the way for this new Johnson & Johnson vaccine to get out, there's going to be more avenues for educators to get the shot that many of them would like to have before they go back to a classroom.
And then the question has come up, and you wrote about this, Aaron, can schools mandate that teachers and other school staff have to be vaccinated? What has been the buzz on that?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question, because private employers actually can require their employees to get a shot, to get immunizations. We probably won't see districts do that for some time, if ever, for a couple reasons. Districts are, a little reluctant to do that for something so new, first of all. And if they did make that a condition of employment, especially in a place where a teachers union is stronger, teachers unions are stronger in some cities and states than others, in a strong union, it would almost inevitably spark a grievance, and there could be litigation, and it could get expensive. And so it's just not worth it at this point, right? And the other thing is supply and demand. There's a lot more people out there that want a shot that can't even get it at the moment. So for a district to take the step to require it at this point, just probably not, good policy or practice. But once the vaccine gets full FDA approval, that's another, that's some other gray area there. The shots that many districts and employers do require now have full, tried and true FDA approval for continued use. So once that happens, it might be another debate. But at the moment, I don't think you're going to see that anytime soon.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Sarah is with us in Kenosha. Sarah, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Sarah?
Well, I started a couple of days ago looking to see where I can get a vaccine. because I'm an educator, and I called my doctor and I called a bunch of other places, but I'm having a hard time finding where to get one, mostly because I own a small company. I give technology lessons to senior citizens, and I don't work for a district, so nobody's going to call me. I was wondering if you could tell me or give me any tips.
Sarah, thanks for the call. I mean, this is a question a lot of people have in vaccine eligible categories, Aaron, but there aren't enough vaccines yet. Even if people want them and maybe are eligible, it may be tough to find.
Right. I mean, even for Milwaukee, as they try to speed up their vaccination schedule, I noticed that the one nuance there is that you need to either live in Milwaukee or work in Milwaukee. Well, what does that mean for somebody who is just outside the city? Like, it seems like, again, the vaccine rollout has been so fractured that it's a little hard to know sometimes where you can go to get it and who is eligible, right? There are some people that are volunteers for districts that have passed a background check, that are on the rolls as a, you know, as a school district volunteer. Does that qualify you as somebody who could potentially get the vaccine, especially if you are working with anybody in person? Those are questions that just haven't been answered very, that just don't have a lot of answers yet from what I've seen. So I'm sorry I can't answer Sarah's question very well, because I think a lot of people are asking those same questions, especially if they're not directly connected to an individual school district.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Aaron Richards, national education reporter for USA Today, about efforts to get more schools open for in-person education and the vaccine plans for teachers and school staff. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is hybrid schooling a good option right now, do you think? Has that worked in your school district? What do you want to know about how school reopenings are going across the country? Love to hear from parents, teachers, and school staff. Maybe if you're a student yourself, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Parrott. We continue our talk with USA Today education reporter Aaron Richards. School districts around the country are grappling with how to safely reopen as President Biden pushes to get teachers access to vaccines by the end of the month. You can join in with your thoughts and experiences at schools, working in them, sending kids to them, being a kid at them, or working away from them. 800-642-1234. Are you hankering to get back to in-person education? Are you worried about it right now? 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Andrew is with us in Appleton. Andrew, hello.
Hi, I just want to make a quick comment that I'm an educator in the Appleton area, and I found it very easy to find a vaccine through Walgreens. Their website was easy to use, and I passed that along to a lot of my other fellow educators, and we all got vaccine through Walgreens, and this was before the rollout of our scheduled school district. Our school district had us on the 12th, but we wanted to get it sooner, so we all got in.
All right, and are you working in the schools right now, Andrew, or remote, or a little of both?
I've been working in the schools since day one. I'm actually in Freedom, which is kind of just north of Appleton, the small school district, but we've been in full attendance since day one.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot for sharing that, Andrew. Aaron, some teachers are finding vaccines, but like so many things with the whole pandemic and with education during it, it's hit or miss, and it depends on where you are.
Yeah, we found that early in the pandemic, there were some teachers who were, or sorry, not early in the vaccine rollout, there were some teachers who were even crossing state lines because they could find that if they were in a nearby state that had teachers prioritized and they were in one that wasn't, that they, I think this was like Georgia to Alabama or Alabama to Georgia. They were like literally driving a couple of hours to go do exactly what the caller Andrew had done. I'm also curious, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but I wonder if he had to show a school ID or if Walgreens just was taking appointments and had, you know, it available. Because there's all kinds of Facebook groups now, too, where people are connecting to try to say, you know, where did you get a shot or how did you do it or what did you need to show?
Oh, Andrew, are you still there? Can we ask you that?
Yeah, sure. I'm still on. No, I didn't have to show any ID. A number of my fellow teachers, they did ask what's your employment, and they just trusted that we were educators.
Honor system.
Yeah, so, we had to show a driver's license and everything, but there is a questionnaire online that you had to fill out that said you are an essential frontline worker, but that's about it.
All right, Andrew, thanks a lot. Glad you could answer that question for us. So, yeah, you don't need to show your teacher ID card, I guess, Aaron.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting because, you know, we've also written at USA Today stories about people sort of, if not officially jumping the line, just kind of going and seeking it out when maybe only, you know, elders, the elderly or sick were prioritized in their state. But to some degree, you know, the rollout has been so fractured that you can't always blame people for just trying to do what they can do to make themselves safe, especially if they're teaching around or, you know, around a lot of people on a day-to-day basis for work.
And thanks for that call. Before we go back to our callers, when you say the rollout has been fractured, are you talking just here in Wisconsin, or is this something that schools and teachers are dealing with all over the country?
Oh, this is all over. I mean, we've seen educators desperate for the vaccine in all kinds of cities and states, and it, whether they could get it right away often came down to location and luck.
Go back to our callers now. Jennifer is with us in Minocqua. Jennifer, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just going to agree with the previous caller. It is a luck kind of situation.
That's okay.
I'm fortunate enough to get the vaccine because I'm in a program that goes into a hospital. However, it's weird to hear myself.
Yeah, I'll jump in, Jennifer. It's easier if you have the radio off. But luck for Jennifer. And I want to bring in another teacher perspective or staff perspective. Marcus is with us in Adams. Marcus, hi.
Yes, hi. I was on my way home from actually getting my first dose of the vaccine today after school. We've been in person all year, which, you know, to me, it's been great with the students being able to do that. But the fracturedness that you guys are talking about seems to show up because my spouse works in another district in central Wisconsin, and they have their date set up for like 2 weeks from now. But, you know, I think it also gives us this reassuring idea, like, hey, you get this vaccine, so it gives us some comfort for being in person. Obviously, we have two doses of this vaccine, and the first dose, I'm an hour and no symptoms or anything, so I'm very excited to get in. Glad.
And Marcus, I meant to ask some of the teachers have called in. Did in-person look different this year? Like, what kind of stuff did you do differently to take account of COVID, even though you're still in the school?
Oh, big time. So in person at our district, I teach at Adams Friendship. We've done smaller class sizes. We've limited the number of transitions during the day. Mm-hmm. We've gone on like a 6-week rotation versus we're in trimesters usually, which is 12 weeks. So we'll split those classes up to 6 weeks. So smaller class sizes. We also do a number of putting spacers in between tables and desks and, you know, mandatory mask wearing and, you know, having hand sanitizer and teaching, you know, good hand washing skills. So that's been big.
Marcus, thanks for the call. And I'm glad Marcus could tell us about that, Aaron, because even when schools have been in from day one, it hasn't been business as usual, as we just heard from Marcus there.
No, I mean, every district that I've talked to across the country that's successfully holding class with minimal transmission of the virus has faithfully followed most of this, if not all of the protocol, you know, masking, some level of distancing, podding, you know, pods of students for some. There have been some places that have just been lucky. They've been maybe a little more lax, but there hasn't been as much transmission. But I certainly think it makes more people feel safer. And just based on what we know about the science of how this thing spreads. I'm also curious, like, how much of back to the vaccine question. I'm also curious how much districts themselves are helping their teachers get the vaccine, or how much of it is just like the previous caller, the local Walgreens has enough doses available and you can sign up and they ask you about your work and off you go. Like I'm fascinated by how some counties and school districts seem to be working together and other teachers just seem to be finding it on their own and knowing what line of work they're in or just pursuing it individually.
Thanks again for that call, Marcus. Aaron, in our last minute or so, I want to come back to a topic we've talked about a bunch before. It seems like there's a general consensus that safety aside, in-person education for most students in most places is going to be better than trying to do it online. Is that about right?
Well, that's a difficult blanket statement because there are going to be parents out there that have seen their kids really doing pretty well online. But what we know, both from research and from more, you know, sort of shorter term anecdotes this year, is that kids who were struggling before the pandemic with maybe time management or stressful family circumstances, cramped quarters, not the best technology or reliable internet, those are the kids that are struggling the most with online learning. And there's a limited amount schools can do to help them if they can't, you know, be in person with them all day long. So those are the kids that we're most concerned about. And that's why even just having the option of 5-day a week instruction is so critical for a lot of people, or that's why it's seen as so critical, because we know that the kids who are struggling the most are also likely to be the ones that are not logging on, that are missing class, that aren't staying logged in the whole time. And so they're just getting less attention from teachers, and therefore they're making less progress. And that puts them at risk for all the things we worry about, right? Falling behind, not graduating, not going to college or post-secondary training, and not getting a job and being able to support yourself. So it's all a cascading effect. And that's why there's so much focus this year on trying to help those kids get in-person learning if they've really fallen off track.
And Aaron, in just our last 30 seconds or so, what are you watching for next with the reopening effort?
A couple of things. So I'm looking for this next round of bigger, you know, large urban districts, what going back looks like for them. We're already starting to see, you know, places like Milwaukee and Madison announce plans for April. I mean, what does it look like to only get maybe 6 weeks of education in person before the end of the year? And then secondly, what does summer look like? What states and districts are going to step forward with pretty robust summer programming, summer learning? Is it going to be in person? Is it going to be remote? Is it going to be drill and kill? Is it still going to have some of the fun that summer school has usually included in the past? So those are things that that I'm looking at down the road.
Aaron, thanks for joining us again.
Of course. Always a pleasure.
Aaron Richards is a national education reporter at USA Today. Join us for a look at school reopening efforts.